Hello and welcome to episode number 5 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal, and Scott said I get 5 seconds to say something this time, so hi, Mom.
Anyway, we hope you are doing well, and we're excited for this episode. Coming up, Bragging Rights, a ball game annually in St. Louis for Illinois basketball that Robert has absolutely no emotional attachment to. So among the things we'll discuss, his top 5 favorite Bragging Rights games of all time. So we'll get into that and much more. Thanks for being with us. Robert, less talking, more lighting of the eye.
Light it.
I do want to note as we start the program that for 2 consecutive episodes now, I did not get any snowballs thrown at me.
By students?
On students on 4th Street who may or may not have been associated with a fraternity.
Well, I took the bus here today, so I am...
Of course you did.
I am feeling straight up student vibes right now. Like, get off the bus over kind of by DKH and then like... walk through a stoplight. I am flashback 35 years right now.
I flashback because we are here at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning in the Armory, and I went into the bathroom, and I immediately went back to, this is a university bathroom.
Yes.
It has that smell. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's a bad smell necessarily. I mean, it's still a bathroom smell. It's not a great smell. I'm just telling you it is the distinct smell. Did you ever go back to like your elementary school or your junior high or your high school?
Absolutely, yes. And
it's like whatever cleaner they used, like, oh, that's my school.
Yes, yes. I've had the
university
same,
bathrooms have a smell.
It's the last few weeks just being in this building has been crazy. You know, I moved to Champaign almost 6 years ago now when I moved back. I just haven't been on campus like this from, you know, coming here. So just walking the sidewalks, the snow... they've cleared this sidewalk, but they didn't clear that sidewalk. So everybody's walking on one side of the street. The bus dropping you off by DKH and you got to hustle around.
David Kinley Hall.
Yes. Is it still DKH?
Well, I don't know.
I think ComWest isn't ComWest anymore.
No,
I don't even
know. That's been renamed, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. But yes, it's just fun to like be around it again. There's an energy to it that I haven't, I live a mile and a half from here, but I just haven't been around it the last few years.
Maybe we could bottle that bathroom smell just for the nostalgia's sake and sell it.
100%.
It's like Kramer with the beach in Seinfeld.
Just hang it from the rearview mirror in the car, and you can have your car smell like you're back at U of I.
That quasi-institutional bathroom smell.
Yes.
Mixed with the time of your life.
Yes. I think these are, you shouldn't say these in public because these business ideas, Scott, are gold. Somebody's going to steal it.
Couple of news and notes to tell you about as far as Illinois athletics. A bit of a quiet week this week because it's finals week. So the next competition for the Illini women are in action Friday night at the State Farm Center against Jackson State. Of course, the men play on they play on Monday night for Bragging Rights against Missouri. That's a 7 p.m. tip. The wrestling team is in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday for the collegiate wrestling duels down there. So there is plenty happening. It's just been a little bit of lull with finals week. But we learned this week that Illinois basketball has added a new player to their roster. And the press release tells us about Tony Bilic from Croatia. He's going to be a practice player. He's going to be on the roster, but he's not going to participate in games. But the press release added Tony Bilic in the pronunciation as if we needed that.
Yes, all your each sounds should be down by now. You know, if you're ever calling a game or whatever, that's what is it?
It'd be 6 Balkans now.
Yes, 6 guys. Yeah, it's the Nico Moretti plan, right? Like Moretti transferred arrived from Italy in January 3 years ago, practiced with the team. You know, they always give the lines about like works out with Fletch and gets in shape and everything else.
And they do.
Then he's ready. Yes, 100%. And so Yeah, I guess this is the Moretti plan of get him in for second semester. He's a practice player, and then see what you've got come next November.
I said to somebody once associated with Illinois basketball, I need an Adam Fletcher in my life.
Yeah?
Because you can always see the pictures, the before, the after, just how... it's like, I need an Adam Fletcher in my life. And the response was, no, you don't.
I've heard the same thing. Who did I talk to about that? I can't remember who it was, but saying the same, like, you got to have a special mentality. You got to be ready.
You don't want an Adam Fletcher in your life.
Yes, yes.
If you're a high-level Division I athlete, you want an Adam Fletcher in your life. The rest of us, you probably don't want that.
Probably not.
You're not prepared for what you think.
I'm not ready for 4:30 a.m. this and you know, this supplement and that workout. And yeah, not a chance.
Illinois volleyball adds a transfer signee, Peyton Chapman, 6'3" opposite hitter. She transfers from Tennessee. Last year with the Volunteers, had 165 kills and a .297 hitting average, was fifth for the Lady Volunteers in hitting in 2025. So Chris Thomas adding to the ranks there for the upcoming season. And she'll be with the team also in January. The spring is very important for volleyball because that's where they get coach-led practices to get ready for the fall. So that's a little bit of the news and notes, but bragging rights on the horizon, and wanted to get into that. And speaking of the Balkans, I want you to imagine for a moment, you get a moment with them, at least the ones that have never played in a bragging rights game or brand new. But particularly the international players, you sit them down. You've got 5 minutes with them.
Only five? You think I could do something in five?
You did the open in 5 seconds.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No. If your wife was here, she would give you the what's the thing she does again when you're going too long?
Well, she references the cake thing.
Yeah.
Like the mashing the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somewhere here, you might have to mash the cake, and I do understand that. Folks from the Balkans might have some idea about rivalries and geography in their lives. But yeah, you sit them down, Mihailo Petrovic or David Mirkovic. Hey, you got this game against Missouri. We've invited Robert Rosenthal here to tell you just a little bit about it. Go.
Would you believe I'm going to tell a story before I actually go?
Oh, my gosh.
Scott, would you believe that? Did
you journalism?
No, here's what we're going
to... Upside down pyramid. No. Don't bury the lead.
Landscape architecture degree. Here's the best way for me to explain me and the storytelling thing. And I'm telling this so that you have a phrase you can say to me from here forward. I may have told you this story before. In fact, I know I've told you this story before. When like our wives were together at my house, that one time I told this story. This is the best way for the new listeners to get to know me. I overshare with everything. I overwrite with everything. I over-detail everything. It's just how I've always been. The reason people like reading what I write is because my brain works in this way. Back in college.
I'm going to trust you here.
Yes. Back in college. Over the summers, I lived down at the Lake of the Ozarks. My family has a place down there. And so between freshman and sophomore year, between sophomore
That's
and junior
Arkansas,
year.
Right?
No, central of Missouri.
Okay.
Dead center of Missouri. And so I worked at a restaurant down there and this and that. So this is how all of my friends used this phrase to describe who I am. It was our second year there. There were three other guys that I knew from high school who lived there with me. So four of us working at a restaurant, living at the lake. All of our dads came down for Father's Day weekend. So they stayed at the lake house and all of our dads were there. We decided, you know, we saw a TV ad for Baskin Robbins back then would do the cake that looks like your dad's work shirt. And if he worked if he was a mechanic, it looked like a mechanic shirt. Or if he was a doctor, it was a lab coat and this and that. And you could have that kind of ice cream cake so it was like, hey, what if we get four cakes, our four dads' names, this and that, be really cool. Let's do this for Father's Day. I call Baskin Robbins, okay? Here's how...
My first job was at a Baskin Robbins.
Here's how I... hello, Baskin Robbins. I say, I'm a college student. I go to the University of Illinois. I live down here at the Lake of the Ozarks. My family has a lake house down here.
Is this how we know you overshare already? 100%. You're calling a Baskin Robbins and giving me your life story.
It's the whole thing.
What's your order, sir?
Yes. Okay. 100%. That is exactly. This is why the phrase is, I'm a college student. My friends say this to me. My wife says this to me. Like, I'll be with friends playing poker, and I'll just be telling a story from like, oh, yeah, I was covering the game in Indiana and this and that, and it's dragging on. And somebody will just say, I'm a college student. But what I do is I go into that whole thing. I tell them, oh, our dads are coming down for the weekend, and they're going to be here. So we thought it'd be a really good idea to maybe get some of these ice cream cakes that you have to, you know, and we could have them in a, you know. All I needed to do, hello, Baskin Robbins. Yes, four of the shirt ice cream cakes, please. And then the person would say, what do you want them to say? And that's it. Mm-hmm. But I, for some reason, in every facet of life, believe that people need those details. I don't know why, but in my mind, I can't ever turn it off. I think that everyone always needs the details, which is what eventually led me to doing what I'm doing and writing the way I write and everything else. So your phrase on the podcast and for anywhere else is just to, when I'm doing it, is just to say, I'm a college student.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. What was the question again?
The question was,
I get 5 minutes.
Players that have come from, that weren't raised in American college sports.
Yes.
What is bragging rights? Yes. And can you do it without being a college student? If you had to explain it to them.
It's funny because the story I would tell comes from that exact same year of 1993.
Okay. I'm trying,
you're trying
to get to a point here.
And I'm going with the exact same thing. I would tell them about the rivalry. I would tell them that there aren't many rivalries left like this. Like Indiana, Kentucky used to have a game every single year where the arena was half Indiana, half Kentucky. There were other games like that that rivals would play in December, and it was half and half in the arena. They sold half the tickets to one school, half the tickets to the other school. I guess Indiana, Kentucky have tried to restart that now, but it's not like it was when they stopped playing that game. And there are other rivalries that have tried to start and stop, but it's really hard to find another non-conference game that's like this, that they play in a neutral site, they sell half the tickets to one team and half the tickets to the other team. So I would start with that. You know, maybe there are rivalries in certain Balkan Adriatic basketball leagues that they've played in where both of the fans get in. But it's very similar to, you know, I would probably reference European football. Like I would reference soccer where you'll watch a soccer match and the fans are so they dislike each other so much that the stadiums will leave an entire section empty between the away fans and the home fans just so that there's no clashes. Like there have been clashes at bragging rights. It's that type of intensity, especially back in the 80s and 90s, of two fan bases that don't like each other, and it's all centered on this one game. So it's a very intense rivalry. I think you have to maybe have grown up St. Louis area. I grew up in the Metro East. I was in Madison County across the river from St. Louis. So I grew up in the good state. But for people from down there, especially Metro East people, this game is absolutely everything. It is full on, no question that the one game some guy in Edwardsville wants to see Illinois win every year is this exact game.
They do have a reference point. The Nashville game against Tennessee.
Sure.
Not a heated rivalry with decades of history to it and mm-hmm. recruiting battles and coaches walking out onto courts while somebody's about to shoot free throws and
yes.
And all that. But you were there, whatever the percentage was it 60-40 towards Tennessee? But it was definitely this side of the arena was Illinois and that side was Tennessee.
Yes.
This is more right down the middle. They sell it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And now just add on that both teams treat this game, both fan bases at least, treat this game differently than any other regular non-conference game.
Yep.
And you can look back at history. One side's been good and one side's been bad. The bad has beaten the good, vice versa. Sometimes they've both been ranked. Last year was a great game. It was a 3-point win. It's one of those you never know what you're going to get with a yep. bragging rights game. It's just different.
Yes. And Look, if I get a little more time with the guys that are trying to understand this rivalry, I would make it personal. And there's no way for me to talk about bragging rights without telling this story. Most people know what's coming because I've written about it 10 times. But bragging rights was a big deal for my dad and I. So we would watch the game together. Once I was a student, he and I would go to the game together. He had a friend of his from high school whose daughter graduated in my high school class. She went to Mizzou. So each year, we would do our own little personal bragging rights, get four seats right near the middle if we could. We tried to even get across the aisle right at the split. And it would be two people in orange and two people in gold or whatever their color is.
And it's golden black, right?
Yes. I was trying to think of a like insult to their color, but I left it alone. I chased that thought away from my mind. So that was even made it fun. Like my dad and this guy played high school football together, and then their kids graduated high school together, and one went to Mizzou and one went to Illinois, so we could have a little, you know, our own little bragging rights section. So went to the 91 game with them, went to the 92 game, the 93 game. My father unexpectedly passed away the day after Thanksgiving in 1993. So I was 20 years old, and I was a junior, starting my junior year here, and it flipped my whole world upside down. And we already had the tickets to go to the game. And weren't sure what to do. And I went back and forth and I'm like, I can't go to this game without him. And then my mom was like, would you be okay if I went with you? And we just, you know, honored the moment and this and that. Sure. So we went back and forth of like, do we go and do we not? And this and that. So we decide, yes, we're going to go. So we go and, sit with the Mizzou fans and, you know, it was this like honor my dad moment. And then it's that game, triple overtime. We're going to get to it a little later. We'll talk about it. Illinois loses in triple overtime to Missouri. As exhausting a basketball game as anyone has ever watched. Three overtimes. Kiwan Garris had two free throws to win it after the first overtime and missed both. Went to an extra overtime. Four Missouri players fouled out. They were playing the guys at the end of their bench. Like, just the most insane game in the history of the series. Missouri wins 108-107. This was about 3.5 weeks after my dad had passed away, and in the stairwell on the way out, I broke apart. Just everything of the last month overwhelmed me, and I curled up into a ball, and I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. It was just the emotions of, do I go to this game? Do I not go to this game? Do I? So here comes the moment. Some Mizzou fans, I'll give them credit for being drunk. Came and didn't know, obviously, they don't know why I'm sobbing.
Yeah, they don't, you're grieving.
They don't know I'm grieving the loss of my father and this and that. They stood over me and insulted me and every bad word, you crying little blankety blankety blank blank.
They think you just couldn't handle the loss.
They thought I was crying because my team lost. They don't know. My mom's trying to explain to them, trying to shove these drunk guys away. I'm just sobbing even more. But let me tell you, those guys have stuck with me. You want a rival? You want a reason to like dislike another team? I'll go back to that moment for the rest of my life. I will. I just will. Again, they had no idea, but they, you know, at some points in life, maybe you should wonder if something else is going on with that person and not choose certain "you're not really a man" words to insult that person while standing over them. So just terrible dudes, and if I need to picture something to dislike the rival of my basketball team, I picture that. And so, I mean, I'm telling our six Balkan guys who don't understand this game, like, do it so wherever those guys are in the world, they feel a little pain tonight, because that was just a big, big moment in my life. So that's bragging rights will always be that to me. It just can't not. I mean, I had no idea it was going to be that game. You know, when my mom and I were going back and forth of like, do we go? Oh, gosh, it's going to be so hard, but maybe he would want us to go and, you know, all this. And we went back and forth and decided to go. Who knew it was going to be triple overtime and Norm Stewart stomping out on the court to try to distract Kiwan and everything else. So it was probably the wrong choice that night, but that will forever be bragging rights to me. And we're going to get this, you know, as we talk through more of the series. So, yeah, my motivation is please beat Missouri so wherever those guys are in the world, they feel bad.
obviously, you know that they're not representative of every Missouri fan.
100%. But, I mean, for rivalries, you know, sometimes you'll feel weird. Like, I've got a good friend who's an Indiana fan. So when I have friends who are like, oh, man, I can't stand the Hoosier basketball fans and this and that, I always say, well, you know, I can't really hate them. This guy's a really good guy, and I'm happy that his team wins. You know, you live in that balance. With Mizzou, I can just picture these guys and be perfectly fine disliking the entire fan base.
The 05 championship game, I watched, seated with two of my good friends from college. One was one of my best friends, and the other was a good friend of his who's become a friend of mine, but he was the mutual friend. He also went to Illinois, but he is from North Carolina. And for what I know, you've had discussions about this.
Sure.
Yep. And you have random rules about where your allegiances may lie. Sure, I don't know if they violate your rules or not, but his allegiance to North Carolina trumped his alma mater.
Absolutely. I get it. The heart chooses what the heart wants to choose.
Yes. But it was not as fun as I thought it would be to watch Illinois in the national championship seated next to an Illinois fan and a UNC fan.
A UNC fan who went to Illinois.
Yes.
And is cheering for the powder blue.
Yes. And also it doesn't matter that he's one of the best people you can know.
Yes. Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah. But that night it was just sort of like, okay, this is. And he wasn't even taunting. It was just he was excited for his own team, but it was just, I can't do this again.
Yes, yes. That's
now, of course, I'm more objective in the whole thing.
Yes. It's so funny how, you know, I'll say things about, oh, man, Iowa fans and this and that. And then, you know, you'll get to know somebody and it's just like, I don't want to like this guy. I don't want this guy to be a really good. I need to, like, hold this idea that all Iowa fans are whatever or this and that or Ohio State, I told the story to you, or I wrote it in an article of during the Ohio State game, the person across the aisle from me had sold their four tickets to Ohio State fans. So I get to my seat and here's four crazy Buckeye fans. I'm like, oh, great. Now I have to deal with, you know, these fans. The guy was great. I invited him to the tailgate afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, he came by, really good guy, really great family, was really complimentary of Illinois. And he's like, no offense has done this to our defense this year. And he made the game great. So, you know, we have all these assumptions of like, oh, man, this guy's going to like ruin the game experience for me. And then he made it great. So, you know, I guess every fan base has decent parts except for, obviously, Missouri, where every fan is just like those three guys.
All right. I asked you, could you give me your top five bragging rights games?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I asked.
Yes.
I didn't give you most meaningful wins for where the programs were. I don't know where you're going with this.
Yep.
It could be because it meant something to you personally, or maybe it's because you recognized how big it was for the program.
Sure.
Or programs at that time. I don't know. There was no rubric.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm just asking you, give me your top five bragging right games.
Are you going to be surprised when I begin with a caveat?
No, because it'll be the surprised. Fourth time this podcast you've already done so.
I'm a college student. after that, so the story goes, I went back to the bragging rights game.
Hang on, you just can't say, okay, number five, and here.
No,
okay.
I can't.
Can't do it.
Because there are 14 years in here, I didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
So I can't name a game between 2001 and 2013. Because for those years, I decided I needed a break from this game. Just because, for a variety of reasons, but mostly because it was a yearly reminder of losing my dad and that moment in the stairwell. And I would just get so nervous and so intense. And I remember one year, like, nearly passing out of, like, you know, just so nervous near the end of the game. And I came to the decision of, like, maybe this isn't the best thing for my health. And so 01 to 13, I didn't watch the game. I didn't listen to the game. I went Christmas shopping. I just need a break from this game because it means a little too much. It affects me physically a little too much.
Okay.
So I took off. In 2013, Tracy Abrams, you know, I would wait until, like, I would give myself 2 hours and 20 minutes before, like, trying to turn on the radio or check into the score because, you know, what if it goes to overtime? So I'm not going to check the score until well after. Well, that year, I think I turned the radio on because I was out Christmas shopping. It was in the car. And the game wasn't over, and I just heard the two Trayze Abrams free throws to win the game. And I wrote about this at the time, like something about Kiwan missing the free throws in 1993 and Trayze Abrams hitting both free throws to win the game in 2013 kind of just closed that chapter for me or whatever. And so I said, I wrote that night, like, I think I'm ready to go back. And so since 2014, I have been going. So there can't be any games on my list from 01 to 13 because I don't have memories of those games. So since this is my personal list, that's why.
Well, that's what like, I said.
Why
I
didn't you put the 04 game in there? Well, I can't because I was Christmas shopping.
Yeah, and you didn't go back to research those games and decide where they would rank.
Yes, yes. Because to me, everything is personal. And if I don't have personal memories of the moments, then that's, you know, not going to, you know, shouldn't be on my top five kind of thing.
Okay.
So, okay. Number five was the 2000 game. So in 2000, Illinois was the number five team. Missouri was unranked. So this is the 2000-2001 season. People sometimes when you mention bragging rights years will associate it with that year instead of the, you know, when we think of the 01 team, the 05 team.
Yeah, it's the year the season finishes.
Yes, yes.
So this is the 01 team.
Yes, it's the 01 team, but it's December of 2000. Mm-hmm. So it's the 2000 bragging rights game. Frank Williams, Robert Archibald, Lucas Johnson, Sergio McClain, that whole team. And it was the first real moment for Frank Williams of, yeah, this guy is special. Because he took over in overtime. What game went to overtime, he took over, Illinois wins, great basketball game. Missouri probably shouldn't have hung in it because they weren't ranked at the time, but that's how this game goes. You can be, I mean, even some of the Illinois teams that struggled, like, gosh, 10, 11, 12, those teams would win the bragging rights game against Missouri's teams that were ranked 9th or 7th or whatever. You know, there are oftentimes one team will come in number six and the other team will come in unranked and it goes down to the final shot. It's just how this game goes. But that was that game. Missouri shouldn't have been in it and it shouldn't have gone overtime. But thankfully, Frankie took over in overtime and won the game. So five on my list, the 2000 game, which was the 01 season.
Number four.
Number four is 1995. So this is the 95-96 season. So people will remember it as Lou Henson's final season. He retired in March of 1996. And so this is Lou's final season. The lead up is that Illinois had won eight consecutive games in the 80s in the series. And then once I was a student, 91, 92, 93, and 94, Illinois lost four in a row. So I watch with my dad and, you know, I'm going to be a student at Illinois and all these years, Illinois wins eight in a row. When I'm a student, Illinois loses four in a row. Thankfully, I went 5 years here at Illinois. And so in December of 1995, I actually watched this one at home. That was the year, you know, everybody's superstitious when they're 22 years old. So I was like, it's me. Obviously, I went these 4 years and we lost these 4 years, so if I stay home, we're going to win, and we won. So
obviously, the world revolves around you.
100%, 100%. And I just, I have so many memories of this game because it was Illinois was 14th, Missouri was 15th. Like these were two ranked teams, really good game. That was the year people remember that Illinois had beaten Duke at Duke to snap their 100 and something game home non-conference winning streak. And so that got Illinois ranked pretty highly, and then Illinois goes in bragging rights, and game went to overtime, and it was Jerry Hester. Jerry Hester was it would have been a junior at the time. What was the year he missed for an injury? 97? So maybe it was, maybe it's junior year, sophomore year, something like that, but Jerry Hester took over in overtime. I still have a VCR tape of this game in a box somewhere because I would go back and watch it. I could still remember Larry Conley on ESPN as the color commentator saying, I'm telling you, he's the guy. I'm telling you, he's the guy as Hester took over. And it's just such a great memory. You know, look, my 5 years in Champaign as a student for bragging rights was loss, 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 and win. So obviously the 95 game's going to be big to me. So that's number four.
Number three.
I'm going straight into it. Aren't you proud of me for just going straight into these? Number three is the game I talked about earlier. We have a photo of it. So it's the Revante Rice buzzer beater. I believe it's the only buzzer beater in the Bragging Rights. There's been, 55 Bragging Rights games, 55 Illinois-Missouri games.
This was the 14 game.
Yes, this is the 2014 Revante Rice. So, again, going back to my story, I take all those years off. I come back and I'm like, I think I'm ready to go again. I'm seated on Media Row. Jonathan, our photographer, took that photo. I've said this so many times in my writing. When I'm seated at my desk at home doing work, writing an article, whatever, there are two photos in front of me. One is a photo of Red Grange from 1924 that's been colorized and hangs on the wall, and the photo that you just saw on the screen of Revante Rice hitting that three, because Jonathan, our photographer, knew the story and knew how important the game was to me, and so he just had a framed copy of it. He actually had it printed on metal and had a metal, I just have this little metal frame sitting there on my desk of reminding me of that moment, because again, that was the full circle moment. It's tied, 62-all? What was the final score on that one? I can't remember.
62-59.
Yeah, it was tied 59-all. Timeout. Illinois is going to get the last shot. Revante hits the three at the buzzer to win.
Jerry Hester was doing the analysis with Ryan Barnhart for that game.
That's great. That's even more full circle for me. So I remember I was, I had a press pass by then, so I was courtside. I was even with the top of the key, right where he released the shots, as close as I can possibly be to a shot. And when he made it again, it was the full circle moment of my sports life. And I put my head down on my laptop and I sobbed. And Brad Sturdy was sitting next to me and he like put his hand on my shoulder. And he's like, "You okay, man?" I'm like, "I'll tell you the story later, but this is really, this is really, really special for me." And so that closed that whole door for me, that whole thing of the game and not being able to go, and my dad and Mizzou in 93 and everything else. And I can enjoy the game again. So that game is super special to me.
Number two,
I'm going to be honest. I'm putting 93 on here. It should be number one. Any logical list of what are the best Bragging Rights games has to, even though Illinois lost, it has to be 1993. I mean, it was just such a ridiculous game. A thing people don't remember is Illinois had either 8 or 9 point lead with a minute left, and Missouri hit 5 consecutive threes. So, they hit a three to cut it to 6. Illinois made 1 or 2 free throws. They hit a three to cut it to 4. Illinois made 2 free throws. Hit a three to cut it to 3. It was just that kind of game. And they hit one more to even just force overtime. Then at the end of the first overtime, Kiwan's fouled as the clock expires. They give him 2 free throws. Nobody is in the lane. It's just him standing out there on the court. Everybody else is at the bench. Because the foul had happened right as the clock expired, there's no one there to rebound. He just has to hit one of the 2 free throws to win the game. Norm Stewart, who's on the other end of the court, comes bounding past half court and partly onto the court, stomping his feet and screaming, "Miss it, miss it, miss it," at an 18-year-old kid. And, I'll forever not respect Norm Stewart forever for yelling at a kid like that. And he missed both free throws, and the Missouri fans let him hear it, and it goes to a second overtime. In the second overtime, most of Missouri's roster fouls out. All of their stars foul out, but it still goes to a third overtime. At this point, the way I can explain it to people currently is, think if Illinois had like 5 or 6 players foul out in a game, say it happened in this Bragging Rights game, and they were left to Jason Jaxtus and Blake Figbemi were now having to be the stars and having to score. That was Jake Sutherland for Missouri, who was a freshman, and Derek Grimm, who was a freshman for Missouri, that really hadn't played. And suddenly it's just like, everybody else has fouled out, guys, you've got to do this. And they're the ones who won that game for Missouri. The 10th, 11th, 12th guys on the bench. So it was, it was in the old, it was the final game in the old Checkerdome / arena, whatever we called it. I called it the Checkerdome because that's what it was when I was growing up. It was the final game there before it moved to the Kiel Center the next year. And it was just an incredible college basketball game that Illinois happened to lose after three overtimes. It probably should be number one on everybody's like list everywhere, but I can't put it number one because Illinois lost.
Well, now I'm really intrigued to find out. We'll see if we also add a drum roll in, in post. Number one on your bragging rights top five.
Number one will forever be 88. So this is the 89 team. People kind of get this confused. So the 1989 game in bragging rights was the best matchup because it was number four against number five. But that was actually the 1990 season. So, you know, again, that thing of like, you know, 88 game was actually the 89 team, the Final Four team. In 89, yes, it was number five against number four. Illinois won kind of going away in that one. But in 88 was like the game. You know, Illinois was number six at the time. Missouri was number 10. So it was a top 10 matchup. The game was incredible. Missouri had a decent lead. I remember being so nervous. But then Kenny Battle took over. I want to say he scored. I looked it up earlier. I think I may even still have the box score in here. Yes. Kenny Battle had 28. And Nick Anderson had 8 points and 10 rebounds. It was just that. It was just when we knew that team was incredibly special. We knew that what they had. I mean, they were on their way to, you know, 3 weeks from then, they would reach number one. They were number six at the time. But we got to number one, like, early, mid-January before Kendall Gill's injury. But, yes, that was the – it was just – that's when you knew that team was special. Because Missouri was really good. That was, like, the Byron Irvin, Doug Smith, Missouri team. They were really, really good. And Anthony Peeler was on that. Gary Leonard was on that team. They were a great opponent. And so those were the days. 88 and 89 were – this game was a national event. Like, this was – you know, obviously, being from the Metro East, it was a very heightened kind of thing because it's on the local news and it's in the paper and it's everything around where I'm growing up. But those games, especially when Missouri was so good back then, those games became bigger than that. It would be like what people were tuning into some of these top five matchups we've seen recently of, you know, your Arizona-UConn kind of matchup the other couple weeks ago or whatever. You know, it's one of those like, hey, this is one of the top games of college basketball this season. And again, the dynamic of Illinois winning eight in a row, Norm Stewart was changing hotels. Like, okay, we're gonna stay at a different hotel. That's we shouldn't have stayed at this. You know, Missouri student section, the Antlers, 1 year took to taking air horns, finding where the Illinois players were staying and running up and down the hallways, blowing the air horns at 3 a.m., trying to keep the Illinois team up all night so that Missouri could win the game. Like, this was, it was an out of control rivalry at the time. And, you know, all of that, and then Illinois would win again. And then, oh, the Missouri student section was doing these things and Illinois would win again. And so, It was a lot of fun to win those eight consecutive games in St. Louis.
We've had some entertaining ones recently. Of course, the buzzer, well, it wasn't quite a buzzer beater last year, but Jakachonis with the go-ahead game winner. Illinois won it 80-77.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago was the memory I'll have of that one. 2 years ago, Illinois blew them out.
Yes.
Actually, the second half was played fairly even, but Illinois blew out Missouri 97-73. But that was a game where Terrence Shannon Jr. basically did everything but sell concessions. 30 points, 11 rebounds. There was some crazy sequence in the second half where he was on one end of the floor and the other half with a under end with a steal and back scoring buckets. And he took, and that was the, oh my, Terrence Shannon Jr. is on another planet.
Yes.
He's on another level. And we know the season he ended up having. That was the 24 season.
Yep.
I believe that was the last game, though, that he played prior to the suspension.
It was, yep. Yep.
But obviously that team was great. And they, you know, it kind of was – it was just interesting. You know, having done many post-game shows, there's been times when Illinois lost the Missouri game and you felt like it was a, fans felt like it was a bellwether for how the rest of the season was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I clearly remember frustration because they lost the 19 game. This would have been the 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
Like all hopes lost. Well, that team turned things around incredibly in January.
Yep.
I think had a valley again in February, but then we're playing their best basketball going into March. We all know what happened with COVID. And
people forget that during the COVID season, there was the coin flip.
Yes.
So, you know, the athletic directors get on Zoom and do a coin flip.
Andy Katz was there to flip it, right?
Yes. And Illinois lost the coin flip, so the game was at Mizzou. And Mizzou won. Like, Io had a three to tie it. But missed, and Mizzou won that game.
Yeah,
at Mizzou Arena, the only non-neutral site game since early '80s, something like that.
Yeah, and that's a team that ended up being a number one seed.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, again, you can go back to unranked, bad teams have won it. You know, good teams have played poorly in it,
yep.
But still had great seasons. It's just its own deal.
Yes, and I'm happy to see it back, because during the Kim Anderson years at Mizzou, so if people aren't aware, Mizzou hired a guy from Division II who was not ready to be a Division I head coach, and I think he won like an average of 8.9 games in his 3 years and was quickly fired. The Missouri fan base was just out on the team at that time. And I think the 2016 game, let me think of this. I'm pretty sure it was 26. I looked this up earlier today. 2016, the crowd, the paid attendance was like 12,000. And the actual attendance was probably more like 9,000. It was just the lower bowl. And this is a game that for decades has been sold out. And they can get 21-9 for basketball in the Enterprise Center. So it is beyond packed every year now, again, and everything. But for a couple years there, I remember seeing the upper deck in 2016 and thinking, like, is this it? Like, is this going away? Is it no longer a thing? And, you know, then there were years where, you know, once Illinois kind of resurrected things and things were going south for Quanzo Martin, you know, the crowd in 22, I can't remember which year it was, but like there was a year the crowd was like 75% Illinois, 25% Missouri. Like they sold their end on the lower bowl, but then the entire upper bowl was Illinois fans. So yeah, so there were years that I was worried that it wasn't ever going to get back to, you know, what the old arena was in 1989 when it was top five, top 10 teams going against each other. And it really started to slip attendance-wise there. And, you know, plus the TV broadcast would go on BTN or it would be on SEC Network. And it was just starting to slip and slip and slip. But I'm glad to see it, you know, it's sold out again and it's back to what it needs to be.
It's Monday night at 7 p.m. at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. Illinois is 8-3. Missouri is 10-2. Missouri's two losses, two power teams that were Notre Dame and Kansas. Kansas was ranked 21st at the time. They're coming off a win over Bethune-Cookman. Of course, Illinois coming off the loss to Nebraska. Both teams are going to have had about the same amount of time off, presumably with finals and what have you. But Dennis Gates with Missouri has had two tournament teams, including last year, and he had a not-so-very-good team in between when he didn't win a game in the SEC.
0-18.
Yeah, but then turned it around last year, 22 wins overall, and made back the tournament. So, should be great.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see you in St. Louis. Say hello if you see us. All right, before we go, Requiem for a Video Board.
Should play some music, right? I can put it in a post.
Tim Knox shared this on Twitter. They've started the dismantling of the video board behind the horseshoe at Memorial Stadium. Of course, that's the start of the upgrade. Memorial Stadium, there's going to be new things coming in. And do you have some favorite memories of the video board, Robert?
I
noticed that it was happening. So
yes, my memories of the video board are I am people will know that I have a disdain for the central speakers that are basically the speakers for the whole stadium.
Yeah.
And for it to reach the whole stadium, they have to crank it to unbelievable levels. And so the speakers, if Tim Knox wants to tweet a photo of some of the speakers specifically being torn out, I will make that the third photo on my desk because I will not miss those speakers. But it sounds like this new board is just massive, like covers three quarters of the back of the horseshoe kind of thing. But that's not all. They're doing.
You don't think that'll be too small, do you?
They're doing the lights. They're doing, you know, I'm pretty sure that next year, you know, after a touchdown at Alabama, you'll see everything flash like red and all this stuff. And I'm pretty sure that's coming to Memorial State. I don't know how they'll use it or if they'll go to those colorful lights and everything else. But there's a whole bunch changing this offseason in the stadium, from additional screens all around and underneath this, and, you know, screens that people can see from different parts of the stadium, and then new sound system, new Jumbotron, new lights, new everything. So here we go.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of Light the Eye. Did want to note that if you have a bragging rights memory that you particularly enjoy, whether it's one that Robert mentioned or just you have that you want to share, drop it in the comments. I'd love to see that. And continue to like and subscribe and tell folks about Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. We appreciate their partnership in this, making it possible. Thanks to the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning, CITL, for being a great space for us to have this podcast. Production today comes from Kevin Southworth. And for Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. Until next time, we'll see you on Light the Eye.